ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। The chant was 4 to 8, chapter 15.
My notes, sound is up. What's my say? I just switched.
Sometimes
I lose my phone also. It's on, but the sound is off.
No, it sometimes lose. The phone gives a trouble now.
It gets loose sometimes, it just doesn't happen. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I hope I'll put it back.
Chant verses 4 to 8. Tatapadam tatparimagitavyam Tatapadam tatparimagitavyam Yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyah Yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyah Tameva chadhyam purusham prapadhye Tameva chadhyam purusham prapadhye Yata pravritti prasata purani यतः प्रवृत्ति प्रसृता पुराणि ततःपदं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतःप्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणि निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्याविनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढापदमव्ययं तत् निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्याविनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढापदमव्ययं तत् न तद्भासयते सूर्यः न तद्भासयते सूर्यः न शशाङ्को न पावकः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्दाम परमं मम न तद्भासयते सूर्यः न शशाङ्को न पावकः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तन्ते तद्दाम परमं मम ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतस्तनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिश्चान्तिकर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतस्तनातनः मनश्चाणीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति शरीरं यदवाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतीश्वरः गृहीत्वैतानि तैयाति वायुर्गन्धानि वाशयात् शरीरं यदवाप्नोति यच्चाप्युत्क्रामतीश्वरः गृहीत्वैतानि तैयाति वायुर्गन्धानि वाशयात्। Ch Chapter 15 is considered a very, very important chapter. It contains the philosophy of Vedanta in a nutshell in this chapter. It's a very small chapter. It contains only about 20 verses. In fact, this chapter is chanted. The whole chapter is chanted before the meal.
Before
the meal. Because in this chapter verse number 14, he talks about how Brahman has become Yagni in your stomach and digesting the food. So you chant the entire chapter before the meal, basically converting every activity into yajna, especially the most powerful indulgence, which is unavoidable, is eating for survival. So you remind yourself of that Uttama Purusha. The chapter's name is Purushottama Yoga. Uttama Purusha means the Supreme Being, the Yoga of Supreme Being. You remind yourself of that being, who is your essential self, and getting back to that self is your goal. So for that reason you chant this chapter before you consume food. Traditionally it is followed that way. Now, in this chapter, like I said, there are only 20 verses, and through Swamiji's research he has split the chapters in chapter 15 into four topics. First, verse 1 to 6, topic is called Brahman is macrocosm, the entire universe. Brahman has become the entire universe. And then this microcosm, the individual, is also nothing but that same Brahman. So Brahman is microcosm, is spoken from verses 7 to 11. And then Brahman is the essence in both. The akshara, this microcosm and macrocosm, are perishable. They change it. The imperishable aspect in the perishable is Brahman, is what he says in verses 12 to 15. And then in 16 to 20, he goes on to say that the Brahman is even beyond the imperishable. It is Uttama Purusha. Brahman is Uttama Purusha, Supreme Being, beyond Kshara and Akshara. So when it is basically following the fundamental principle of education to move from the known to the unknown. When you talk about the unknown factor to a person, for a person when certain thing is unknown and you know that, and you're trying to communicate that to him, you follow this method of going to the level what he knows, and from there you try to explain the unknown, moving from known to the unknown. So when you're talking about the Supreme Brahman, which is beyond everything, to a person who's at the ground level, you have to come down to his level and explain, and then take it forward. So first he says that Brahman is nothing but this Kshara. Kshara means what? All those things that have name and are changing, passing, fleeting, which are the form. The form which has been given a name, they perish. All these perishable things are nothing but Brahman. Right. Then a person understands that Brahman is perishable, like him or her. Like how I am perishable, he understands that Brahman also to be perishable, that divinity also to be perishable. So he says, no, the imperishable aspect in the perishable is Brahman. Right. So when certain things perish, like energy can neither be created nor be destroyed, it can only be transferred from one form to another. Right. So you can say that first he says the form, matter, is Brahman. When he says perishable. Then the energy which doesn't get perished, that is Brahman. We interpret it that way also. Now, it is not just matter and energy. Beyond that there is one more thing.
What?
That is that Uttama Purusha. Now, this Akshara imperishable is also an aspect that can be conceived, isn't it? But always you conceive it with reference to the perishable. You always understand imperishable with reference to perishable. It is like that story from Vivekananda that is what I have remembered of the context. He says there was a frog living in the ocean, and by mistake once it fell into a well. And there was a frog already living in the well. And the frog in the well, when he saw the new one, asked the new one, where are you from? And the new frog said, I am from the ocean. He said, ocean? What is that ocean? Ocean is also water body like this well. Acha? How big is it? Is it aggregate level or how big is it? Now, can the frog from ocean explain the size of ocean to this frog in the well, keeping the well at reference? Can I say 20 times, 50 times, million times, trillion times? Still it's not comparable. So we are trying to understand Brahman with the finite. So he says, this finite, gross manifestation, the microcosm, this body, this name form is Brahman. Then you understand that this perishable thing is Brahman. Then he says, no, no, no. The imperishable aspect is Brahman. Because the form is something that is perishable. So then you think, oh, okay, the imperishable aspect. But the imperishable aspect with reference to what are you understanding? With reference to perishable, you understand this as imperishable. But Brahman is not something that can be understood from the finite. Therefore, he says, it is Uttama Purusha. It is even beyond your intellect. So, known to the unknown. So, this is how he explains Brahman in this chapter. How that infinite Brahman has become this Shweta as it were, this Rita as it were, that's what he's talking about. The beauty of this chapter is explaining how that Brahman has become Shweta as it were. Like the huge ocean has waves, and in those waves you have frozen foam. That small little bubble on the surface of the water is Rita, is Lakshmi Narayana. Right? But this, that small little bubble, Rita is not understanding. Therefore, the way that small little bubble Rita is thinking that she is very small, finite, and feeling the insecurity, and due to the insecurity, to feel comfortable, secure, the individual bubble is trying to swell as much as possible by acquisition of material wealth, acquisition of people, acquisition of knowledge, acquisition of all these things. How much ever the small little bubble may acquire,
it will remain a small little.
It will remain a small little bubble, and the bubble has a what? Very temporary, very small light. Any day, any minute, it can
burst.
Right. So in this chapter, he is trying to explain that don't identify yourself from the bubble point of view. Understand that bubble is also essentially nothing but water. That water is Brahman. Right? So now, in the beginning, he is talking about how the samsara has come from Brahman. So he says, he is talking about a tree, a huge tree. The huge tree he gives here as an example is Ashwatha tree. Is it Ashwatha tree? That is not Ashwatha tree, no?
No.
That is not Ashwatha tree. Ashwatha tree is that fig tree. You know? What is the other tree?
Anjeer.
So that is fig tree, right?
Yeah.
A huge tree. Which has a lot of, roots coming.
Oh, that's banyan.
It's not banyan, it's a variety of banyan tree. Then it's people tree is what he is referring to. Now he says urdhva moolam adashakam. Urdhva means upper, adha means below, moolam means root. Root above, shakam means branches, branches below. He's talking about a tree, inverted tree. Tree is not inverted, our thinking is inverted. Therefore, when you read this word, it is appearing to you as if it is talking about a tree which is inverted. What it is trying to say is, you always keep the source above. Source is what is respected. You keep it above and devote, your devotee, you look up to it. You look up to your parents, because parents are the source. Your parents may be illiterate. They didn't go to school. But you might be a PhD student. Or you might be a doctor working in some big hospital. So many people are respecting you and all that. Even then, you will fall at your parents' feet. Because they are the source. So the Moolam is above. Moolam is supreme. It is far beyond. The ignorance of that Moolam, due to which this samsaric tree has come, is all that he is trying to say. So what he says is, from the root above, the branches, the various activities have come. Why the activities come? The activities come because of your desire. The desires come because of your thoughts. The thoughts come because of your vasanas. Vasanas are nothing but what? Ignorance of your self, ignorance of your modam, ignorance of your root. Ignorance that you are not Shivani, but you are Atma. Due to that, now you have imagined this limited self for Shivani. Now samsara is started. Are you with me? So therefore, from that root above, branches, the tree has come. Udvapulam, Adashakam, Ashwatam, Prahuravyam. And this is going on and on eternally as it were. Isn't it? Puradapijanam, Puradapimaranam, Puradapijanam, Chakrashanam. It's going on. Sandamsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavite. So he says, he compares the leaves to Veda. Because leaves are essential for the tree to survive. They are very much important in the tree's survival. Similarly, with what are you keeping this samsara surviving? Karma kanda. Going on doing various activities with vasanas bubbling and creating more and more vasanas. As a result, what is happening? That cycle is continuing, isn't it? You don't end the vasana. Therefore, it doesn't end. Going on, right? So what is making it going on? Karma kanda. The karma kanda portion of the Veda talk about various rituals. So when you do those rituals with desired attitude, then you create more and more vasana. And that is why you continue. So he says, Uttam Moolam Adashakam Ashwatam Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavite. But a person who knows this, he understands this, he gains the wisdom of Veda. He doesn't get involved. Then the second verse he says, its branches spread below and above, that is by the guna. Depends on the guna, sattva, rajas and tamas. Some vasanas are sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. Sattvic gunas make the branches walk. Meaning, your activities are towards the divinity. Rajasic in the middle, just going on acquiring, enjoying in the middle. Then, tamasic gunas make you go downward. You even may go into unrealistic wounds. You continue just living an intelligent and contributing life. Because such a person is a parasite to the society. He is creating such vasanas and he will be falling down into such levels. So he says, with birth as the sense object, the sense objects attract the action. So the birth is compared to the sense object and roots. Here they use the word Moolani. In the first word he used the word Moolam. Here he uses the word Moolani. They are talking about the secondary roots. The secondary roots of the tree is the one which holds the tree strongly. Isn't it? That secondary roots are nothing but vasanas. They stretch below as actions binding men in the world. So what binds you is your vasanas. That is what is binding. So now this tree may be a huge tree. But one thing is very interesting. It may be a huge tree, it may be there for a long, long time, it may be very strong, all that is there. But it is not something that you cannot cut it off. You can, but you need a proper knife or a a max point. And that is what he's talking about. Its form is not perceived here as such. It is difficult for the intellect to understand this. Neither its aim is not the origin, not clear foundation. Who is your father's first father? Whether the chicken came first or the egg came first, whether the tree came first or the seed came first, do you know? Like Matthew Arnold says, life is an arrow, shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while, and then disappears into darkness. You don't know where you came from. Is it? Remember, where were you before taking birth? And we know that we have come with an expiry date. Only thing, the expiry date is not known. After the expiry, where are we going?
I don't know.
So, life is an arrow, shot from darkness, flutters in light for a while. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60, 70, whatever, 80, 90, 100, whatever number of years we live, for a while, flutters in light for a while, and then disappears into darkness. So he says, its form is not perceived here, neither the origin nor the end is clear, its foundation is not known. Having cut that under this firmly rooted Ashwatthama. So you can, but one thing you can do what? You can cut it and remove it completely. How? Cut that under this firmly rooted Ashwatthama giant fig tree. It's not even a giant fig tree, Swamiji. Now you are saying it's not.
People also.
People also, and he's calling it a fig tree.
Both are written.
Yeah. Firmly rooted Ashwatthama giant tree with the strong axe of non-attachment. So how do you cut this samsara? You have to understand how you created this samsara. This samsara is nothing but your imagination. You continuously set your thoughts, samsara is created. Isn't it? A child is born, and before the child is born itself, that thing is created in you. Oh, conceived, congratulations, you're going to become a mother, my son, good son. Going on, setting the thoughts, and the son is born, and attached, and now it's a very big attachment mentally. You created that mental attachment by constant unintelligent thought. Constant unintelligent thought flow. Are you with me? So now if you want to remove the samsara, what do you have to do? Now again the same thing you have to do, little ulta. What? Constant intelligent governed conscious thought flow. Towards what? The source, Brahman. अभी आपका ताप बाहर जा रहा है, उसका अंदर करना. So how, what will help you for that? Shastras will help you, scriptures will help you. The guru who's gone through the study and has reached that state, that person will help you to interpret the shastras. And through the shastras, you develop the detachment following the discipline, then you cut it as an approach. Otherwise it's not possible. And if you want to understand the shastra properly, you must have relative detachment from the world. Like you did in the beginning. You made sure that the throne is on silent mode. It's a very, very gross example. Relative detachment should be there. Otherwise it's not possible. You are so much preoccupied with all sorts of things. It's not possible. Therefore, you must be fully available. So start with sense contact. In fact, in the third chapter, it beautifully says how it goes and corrupts you fully. What? He says desires. How it enters, first place it enters is your senses. Anybody who enters into this country, either they come by air into the airports or they come by sea. So there are lots of police surveillance going on every day, the checking. In spite of it, whatever the force were there, through which people came and attacked us in Mumbai, 26-11 happened. Right?
How you are attacked?
Sri Krishna talks about it. What is that? First thing is, senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. So therefore he says, once they come through the senses, you don't cut them there. Then what happens? Then they go and sit in the mind. Then from the mind, if you don't control and remove them, they go and sit into your intellect. Intellect ko delete karke, virus is completely taken over. Virus, V-I-R-U-S, in computer language somebody told me, it means vital information resource under siege. The vital information that you are Atma and not Shivani is completely taken over. All information that you studied in the Vedanta till 14th chapter of the Gita is under siege. Then what happens? You long for a hot chocolate in Starbucks. And then you run. And the hot chocolate, you said, this should be more, that should be less, all sorts of things. Know this, know that, add this, but that will mess it up, you get angry. All the samsara started. What is that? All that samsara started. So, two things you have to do if you really want to gain control over this samsara. First is, do not allow the enemy to enter into you at the very first gate itself. What is the first gate?
Senses.
Therefore, he recommends highly sense control. Okay? Then, mind control. These are very important exercises. You don't do any of them. And along with such disciplined living, if you gain knowledge on a systematic basis and reflect over it, what will happen?
Intellect.
Slowly your intellect will gain firmness and control. Then you see, Baba, I am not that small bubble. I am Atma. There is no happiness in the object. I am unnecessarily fooling myself. Are you with me? So it is not something that you can understand by merely seeing. It becomes very difficult. You see the moon. In the night, light is coming from the moon. So if I tell you there is no light coming from the moon, you say, what are you talking about? I'm seeing it's coming from the moon. I say, Baba, come with me. Understand science. I'll explain to you. Then I give you a particular gadget through which you see any opposite. Abba, there is no light coming from you. Are you with me? There is a procedure. That is why they say, you want to really gain the knowledge of what Vedanta is trying to say, or gain control of your life, please do what? Start from the grass level. Have a disciplined lifestyle. Sense control don't serve you. Without sense control, if you put in so much of garbage into you, it corrupts your intellect, you can't think properly. So you need to have that discrimination which is Shuddha Buddhi. The Shuddha Buddhi is very essential. Abhyamara Buddhi is not very pure. It's corrupted with all sorts of sense indulgences. So therefore, you really want to gain the Shastric wisdom according to that. And then, Asanga Shastrena Pradena Chitva. It is then with the acts of non-attachment, the firm discrimination, you cut it. Because you see,
this is how the samsara is starting. Okay, I cut. At least what you will do? New samsara you will not start.
So many business people, you know, the least we could do to them is that they start discussing, first make them see the whole thing. That at least the new samsara that they are about to start, we make them not start. Because loan is available, the opportunity is available, you get caught. So 5-6 things are there. Then you don't know what to do. Are you with me? How are these samsaras created? If you just pause and see, no problem. So in this context I say the 3 R's are very essential. First R I talked about is retreat. You must take a pause from this constant running. This world we are constantly running. Take a pause, take back few steps, retreat. And then reflect. Think. What am I doing? Why am I doing all this? Mechanically going up and down. And then what is the purpose?
Interesting.
What am I trying to do? That is reflection. Then recast your thinking. When you recast your thinking, life becomes very simple. Sometimes what happens is, if you do your recasting, it's probably better that you get rid of one part of the body. Because it's becoming big headache. You can't manage it anymore. So the doctor says, I cut it out. No, it's okay, you cut it off. Are you okay? And sometimes like that, in your business also, you got to trim certain things. It's not just the people. Sometimes you might have to give up certain businesses themselves. It's worth probably to close it down, even if there's a loss. So that the energy is available for something else. That clarity you need. But the mind will not allow you to let go. So that is what he's saying here. Are you with me? So recast your thinking. And once your thinking is recast, suddenly you find your life will become much better. But now, we don't have time for being on that. Why? Everybody is running. If I stop, they would have reached 5 to 10 kilometers more than me. Maybe Joe died, so maybe Bhagavan. अगर पॉसिबिलिटी है तो मोबाइल भगवत गीता क्लास शुरू करो हमारे साथ आप भी भागो तो फिर आई विल बी लर्निंग फ्रॉम यू यू अंडरस्टैंड दिस इज द काइंड ऑफ थिंग दैट इज गोइंग ऑन नाउ आई थिंक एवरीथिंग हैज बीन दिस इज नॉट पॉसिबल इन दिस सेंस यू गॉट टू रिट्रीट रिफ्लेक्ट एंड देन रिकास्ट योर थिंकिंग
आई नो समबडी हु रियली विल टेक ऑन हिज वे टू द ऑफिस takes his Guruji at that time. But that's not bad because you spend so much time on road, then he has that one-to-one.
See?
I'm saying that mobile rush.
See, that is how probably it can start. But eventually the mind has to stop. The mind doesn't stop, you never get there. See, it's like this.
So we need to give importance to the
as much. Exactly.
You know, the other way to look at it is he wants to do this.
Yeah. So that's bad enough. Way to start.
That's what he's saying. But actually you have to find proper time for it.
If he's on the way, like I said,
that's a good way to start.
Not a good way to start. It is one way to start.
One way,
at least that leads you to something.
But he's interested in.
Now, if he really starts, not just devotionally, lot of people devotionally I should also study Gita, not like that. If he really starts and if he really understands what the Guru will teach, his mind will slowly, mind running will stop. In fact, when the mind running stops, your dynamism increases. See, this is where a lot of people make mistakes. The more you become a Vedantin, the higher your dynamism will be. Because when the mind runs, you are more upset. Your obsession itself becomes an obstacle. It is just that the other people are not running, are running slower than you. Therefore, you are successful. I just came from the ashram. I went to ashram. That's why in our class last week, every year we have YPO retreat in the ashram. The YPOs come and they have retreat with us. So they are doing it in the ashram. We are not doing it. Right. So only white girls can come, or whosoever has done to them can come. So most of these guys are at the top level, right? Not most, all of them. So in one of the lectures somebody said the same thing. When he talked about success, you are successful because others are not. In the sense, you are running compared to others who are running slowly or not running. But if you understand, your success will be completely at a different level. Your dynamism will be, see, please understand, what adds power to your physical dynamism is your thinking clarity. Are you with me?
When you are saying that...
See, physically, somebody has been working hard and built a certain empire. We are not ridiculing it. Right? Physically you work hard and you built a certain empire. Which is great. Other person thinks, smartly comes up with one idea, small app or something like that. He's built a bigger empire than him. What is adding dynamism to dynamism? When there is physical bhala, tapo bhala is there. Along with tapo bhala, there is yoga bhala. Along with yoga bhala, if you have dhyana bhala, it's adding, na? So when a person becomes subtler, his dynamism increases to a great level. The problem today is our mind is running so much that we are doing there, that everything seems to be more successful. No doubt you are successful from a material level, it looks like that. But if only you had clarity, you, the very same person, would have been 10 times more successful. So think about it. There's a story which all of us know, I think in North India also the story is popular. Lord Ganesha and his younger brother Lord Subramanya, both of them were competing as it were for a mango, which was called as the mango you consume, it gives you jnana directly. Narada Muni brought that mango. Is this story popular in North India? Not really. None of you seem to know. The South India are very popular. Narada Muni supposed to have brought this fall, but only one. And only one person should eat, not share. That's sort of the thing. So now, only one can get it. So they said, okay, whoever goes around the world 3 times, and comes back first, they'll get it. Simple. Subramanya, Lord Subramanya got on his Vahan, which is the peacock, and he started flying.
And
Ganesh simply went along
with his parents.
Who is the world? Right? He finally got it. The story is saying many things. You can also interpret it for what I am trying to communicate, which is what? You had clarity, success is simple. That dynamism. So really speaking, desire, when it becomes obsession, they become an obstacle. They become an obstacle.
Desire.
If you can direct your desires with your intellect, you become successful. You understand? You seem to have covered some distance. Panting, fire, stress, some kuch hai. Ye bhi hai, thoda distance bhi cover kar diya, stress bhi hai. Pata nahi kya karu. I can't leave it also. This is the kind of success you are leading now. Hariyati. On 27th of February, KPMG has invited me to give them a talk. This is exactly what I am going to tell you. Because this class, now I want the story. Now this story I will keep in mind as I tell it. It is what it is. Because the topic there is mind, body and soul. When you operate at the body level, when you operate at the mind level, when you operate at the soul level, you are directing the desires. Are you with me? When you direct your desire, you are highly directed. So, I went into this because of that
Example Rita ji gave about that Swami going along with him. Because the Swami must have seen some spark in him. Some devotion is there. Some bhakti loki chalo yaar, I'll come with you. He's not that Swami is going to go to everybody like that. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter that we get there, you see, don't give this knowledge to somebody who does not. And don't give this knowledge to somebody who asks without devotion also. Charitra Sona Sampati Nandu Bhagavad Gita Guru. You understand? So, I'm sure that Swami knows this. He must have seen the spark in him. Understand that? So therefore, little bit, you know. So, but if that person understands, the mind running will stop. We are talking about mind running. Now mind is running clueless. Anywhere, it's cooler here. It's, and you call it timeless. Ramana Maharishi just sat in Tiruvannamalai. In the Tiruvannamalai area in Tamil Nadu. It's a mountain. Mountain is area. He just sat there. Meditate, realize self.
Who was that?
Swami Ramana Maharishi. You go and see, people from all over the world come there now. He has given up his body many years ago. He didn't go. I am not saying you should not go. When a person goes deep inside, his dynamism or her dynamism is completely different. The mind will not allow you. Run, fast. Then you get tired. So he says, take step back and think. Recast your thinking. Bring in certain discipline in your life. And then have a daily study. Reflection. Then your life becomes much simpler. Unnecessary load. I think I've given this example before. One of the videos, he comes for the last 7 years, he's coming regularly to academy from Europe. He took Swamiji to his country and he owns few buildings and hotels and stuff like that. So one of the hotels, the top floor, entire floor he gave to his guru Swamiji. Entire floor for a devotion. And then he wanted Swamiji to see him. All his business thing. He has a video, you know, how to present. So he showed Swamiji and wanted to take his blessings and advice. After seeing the whole thing, he said, Swamiji, I need your blessings and advice. I blessing, you know that I am not a blessing, Swami. What you do, you get, depends on your actions. So don't worry about that. But you are asking me for my advice. But for that, I need to know one thing from you. What is it? How much of all this you own really? How much load you have? Is that 50-50? 50% is bank. 50% is my investment. So my opinion, you are asking for my opinion. So my opinion is, I am seeing you with shirt but no pant. Pant belongs to the bank. The majority case is like this. Right. Then slowly he is taking advice from Swamiji and is really growing from a different. See, there is a difference between swelling and growing. Swelling looks very attractive in the beginning, but wo growth nahi hai. Wo growth nahi hai. Are you with me? But swelling gives you all the trouble later on. All the trouble. So when you gain that clarity, life becomes simple. Whether or not you get to Brahman and forget about it, at least samsara will be able to handle better. That's what he's saying. Next. Verse 4. ततपरं तत्परिमार्गितव्यं
यस्मिन् गतानि निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी तत्पदं तत्परिमार्जितव्यं यस्मिन् गतानि निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी. After doing what he said in verse number 3, which I discussed till now in detail, he says, Tata padam tat parimargitavyam. Then that goal must be sought. What goal? Brahman. First to control your mind here. First control your mind here. Not allow the mind to run helter-skelter. Relatively having controlled the mind, then pursue that goal of Brahman. Tatapparam tatparimahitavyam. But once you have reached that goal, when you pursue like this, there is a possibility of you reaching the goal. What goal? Goal of?
No.
Self-realization. Brahman. When you reach Brahman, what happens? All desires gone. Because you are infinite, now you are ocean. You are not the bubble. When you understand, would there be any insecurity? Would your thoughts run now to swell more, to feel secure? No. But will it stop your actions? Think about it. If you have a desire, then your actions will be over. Desire is not going to be done. Desire is not going to be done. Desire is not going to be done. So what? Will it happen? No. Why?
Because then you are doing everything even more in a focused way. Yeah.
In fact, what happens is, when the desire is gone, when the desire is there, you are doing actions to find security. Now when you are extremely secure, out of security, you are active. When you are full, when you are happy, always it overflows. So actions overflow to you. Then actions become a dance, a celebration. You are not doing to get something out of it. You are doing out of attitude of giving. Your energy flows. Agree with me? So that is what is saying here. That person has completely removed all the desires. When the desires are removed, vasanas are removed, will you come back into the world again? Why are you born? You are born because of your vasanas. If vasanas are removed, will you be born again? Therefore, he says, whither having gone, there is no more coming back business. So whither having gone, they do not return again. And I seek refuge in that primeval Purusha, supreme being alone, where from stream forth ancient activity. All these actions came from where? From Brahman. How? Because of my ignorance. So what do I want? I really want only to get back to Brahman. In fact, all of us are trying to get where? To Brahman only. It is just that we are searching for it somewhere else. You know, they have this Kumbh Mela, they have, no?
Yeah.
The Kumbh Mela they have, how many people gather there? Crores of people, isn't it? Like that in Tamil Nadu, they have Mahamakam. Mahamakam is where lakhs and lakhs of people get together in a pond. Imagine, 100 people going, it's going to be crowded.
Yeah.
Lakhs of people want to take bath, dip in the pond. Like that, when they're dipping, one lady, she lost her ring in the pond. She went in, the ring was there. She came out, ring is not there. Okay. So what she did is, she came out and started searching for it on the road. Somebody said, what are you searching for? I'm searching for the ring. Where did you lose it? In the pond. Why are you searching here? Because it's 3 years. Will you get it? What are you searching for? Only two things we do from the time we are born till the time we die. From the time we wake up till the time we sleep, what is that? Do things or avoid doing things. This is what we do. It's called as what? Pravritti and nivritti. I am doing or am I avoiding? Isn't it? Why? By doing, I get happiness, so I do. By doing this, I may get unhappiness. Therefore, I avoid doing. So basically, what am I looking for? Happiness only. In all the actions and non-actions, what am I looking for?
Happiness.
Right? Where is that happiness? Within, not without. Out of ignorance, what is happening? No, I am running, 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 running outside. So I am running to different factories, different countries, different days, different Vedanta classes. These are some jada bhagra. But not understanding that it is within me. So he says, once you control the mind, then you understand, unnecessarily mind is running outside, I am not going to find it. How many of you saw that movie, Pursuit of Happiness? It's a fascinating movie. Will Smith and his son, lonesome actor in the movie, as his son. Unbelievable movie and acting. In that, finally when he cracks it and gets the job, the expression that he showed is incredible. Now, what I thought that movie was trying to communicate, this is my interpretation maybe, is that we are all in the pursuit of happiness. You'll never get it. Happiness is in the garb of pursuit. You understand? Shweta's happiness is in that pottery that she is involved in. It's in the garb of action. But you're trying to look for it outside. The more you pursue happiness, you'll be dejected. You'll be deceived. The happiness is in the pursuit. Are you with me? You happily make pots. You happily give lectures. You happily draw pictures. Painting. That's what Vedanta will do. So while painting, you know, you're not bothered, who's going to buy this? Where is it going to go? Is it going to go to the Rashtrapati Bhavan? Is it going to go to the White House? Nothing of this. You're happy. Happily you express your thoughts in painting. And that's why such activities are priceless. You can only auction them. Because when that painting was being created, the painter was dead. अपने बारे में सोचने का ताप नहीं था. The probability they have food, they were not thinking about it. And that is happiness. Are you with me? So that is what he is saying here. Tat padam tat parimarjitavyam. That goal should be sought after all this. That he said it was free. And then when you go there, what happens? No more falling into this stressful living. He's not only talking about being born again. Thereafter, you will not madly run like this. Trying to chase, to acquire, 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 enjoy, acquire, enjoy. Mad chase to acquire, you know. To add one more penny to your account. That madness will not be. That will stop. You thereafter begin to live your life. Actually, now according to Veda, none of us are living our lives. So running, running, running. So what happens? Thereafter you will not return to this mad way of living. You actually begin to live a very kingly life. You are not pursuing happiness. You are in pursuit, happy. So that is what he is trying to say here. That person will never return. And then he says, that, in that I seek refuge. I seek refuge means what? I completely
surrender.
Surrender to that goal. I want to get there first. See, first I must know that knowledge. I must establish myself there so that I can live my life properly. That is why we say, first learn this and then live your life. But we are the Buddha living, and very few people try to learn it when we are 40, 50, 60, 70. Swami says, what is the point in knowing about these things when you are not even able to stand up by yourself? This knowledge is supposed to make you live properly. What should you learn after having lived? You know, in Vedanta's book, in the very beginning, Swamiji has a topic called sequence reversed. He's written a topic called sequence reversed. In that he gives a beautiful story. There was an archer who was great archer. About 98 or 100 bullseye he used to strike every time he used to, you know, what do you call it? Aim his arrow on the target, 98 or 100. He came to know that there is another guy who generally doesn't take part in these competitions because he's above all this, but he's 100 out of 100. Acha, 100 out of 100, then I must learn from that guy. So he goes to him and surrenders and says, please teach me. I am told you, it's 100 out of 100, I am about 98 out of 100, you know. So I want to know the secret. The two is missing, you know. I want to learn that focus, teach me. He says, I will, but you have to promise that secret, when I share, you should not share it with others. Then it's okay. He said, okay, no problem. He gives him the promise. He says, you are 98 out of 100 and I am 100 out of 100 because you are doing the ulta of what I am doing. Acha, then what do you do? He asks. He said, you are drawing the circles and then shooting. I shoot and then over that I shoot and draw the circles. He first shoots wherever the arrow goes, around it he draws the circle target. This is what we are doing. Ulta. This is what I said. Now first we are running. First we should not run. First we should learn. But unfortunately, these things are not being taught in schools and colleges. Unfortunately, these things are not taught in schools and colleges. Nor do parents teach because they themselves don't know. So when you don't get this knowledge, what will you do? The mind will obviously run. There is no course teaching how to control your mind. But that's a very, very essential knowledge. Then when you live your life, it's a totally different life you lead. There's no more returning to this ordinary living thereafter. Ordinary living is what? Get up, get ready, go to work, earn money, invest, sleep. Get up, go, invest, sleep. Get up, go, invest, sleep. Routine, mechanical existence. With full of stress and strain, as you've collected more and more, you are not able to let go of few things. Even though you may understand that it is not useful, but you think maybe it will become useful once upon a time. But then you get involved, then you completely stress. This is a problem. So he says, I seek refuge in the primordial Purusha, Supreme Being. Means what? I sit down and study. And I don't allow my thoughts to run helter-skelter. I practice discipline. That is called surrender. Surrender doesn't mean I just mechanically go and surrender to idols. Being, Supreme Being alone, where from stream for the ancient activity. All the actions sprung forth from Brahman or of ignorance of Brahman. To that Brahman I surrender. Meaning what? My life is completely dedicated for that. I become like an ambassador thereafter. Ambassador, wherever he goes, whatever he may say, India says, they are not going to say Indian ambassador says. Indian ambassador says, which India says? It's the voice of India. So he represents India, isn't it? So therefore, clothes he wears, everything is going to reflect the Indian mind to the world. So he will be making sure 24/7, isn't it? 24/7. What clothes he wears, what words he speaks, how he conducts himself, because it's all going to reflect on his country. So like that, when he says that I am surrendering, I take refuge. Take refuge means what? In eating, sleeping, breathing and everything, I will only do now to get back to Brahman, not to merely acquire and enjoy. Acquisition and enjoy would thereafter become a what?
Second.
Automatic byproduct. First at home. I have to first fix the goal and then shoot the arrow. And for that, I have to pull the arrow behind. Isn't it? My aim has to be fixed on the bullseye. Then I have to pull the arrow behind and then release. Similarly, my intellect must reach the goal of Brahman or higher. Brahman in the highest level, relative level, higher goal. Then you have to pull your personality behind. That is that tapas. You have got to develop that strength. The strength comes in the tapas. What is the tapas? You see, you dissipate when you spend, isn't it? But when you withhold, you conserve the energy. So what you have to do is, you have to understand that richness is not to be measured in terms of how much you have. Richness should be measured in terms of how much you can be without. Socrates goes around shopping center and comes out and says, I'm amazed at all the things that men can be without. Okay. So, you are rich not by how much you have, you are rich by how much you can be without. That ability, that strength. Then the mind will not run craving, but the obsession is not there. Your clarity is better. When your clarity is better, you achieve. That's the idea. You understand? That is the idea. So that is why we keep saying, first pull the arrow, pull the arrow, pull the arrow. Fix the goal, pull the arrow. Time will be there for you to release. Once you pull the arrow, when you release, it goes and sticks to the bullseye. That's the idea. Next verse.
నిర్మాణమోహాజితసంగదోషాః అధ్యాత్మనిత్యావినివృత్తకామాః ద్వంద్వైర్విముక్తాసుఖదుఃఖసంగైః గచ్ఛంత్యమూఢాపరమవ్యయం తత్ నిర్మాణమోహాజితసంగదోషాః అధ్యాత్మనిత్యావినివృత్తకామాః ద్వంద్వైర్విముక్తాసుఖదుఃఖసంగైః గచ్ఛంత్యమూఢాపరమవ్యయం తత్. So such a person, what happens to him? He becomes completely freed from pride and delusion. Thereafter he is not anymore in the delusion of the fact that he is small. You know, and comparing with yourself, others will develop this pride, this moha. You know, all the nonsense is gone. Because once you understood, you are the ocean, and everybody is essentially ocean, where is the question of pride and delusion? That is completely gone. All the desire and its modifications are gone. So evils of attachment gone. So when a person becomes one with Brahman, thereafter, thoughts are not coming outward. And when the thoughts run, it becomes attachment, desire, anger, delusion, etc. Now, in this case, he has conquered all the running thoughts. Therefore, he has conquered the evils of attachment. And such a person is ever rooted in the self. Ever rooted in his original self. Desires are completely gone, well liberated from the pains of opposites like joy and sorrow. They are well liberated from pains of opposites. Joy and sorrow means what? Joy or sorrows do not bind them, affect them. Such a person is undeluded. That undeluded person reached that eternal. He has become Brahman for all practical purposes. Thereafter, he has gone beyond the pains of opposites. He has gone beyond the pains of opposites because he has gone beyond the mind. There is no pain of opposites apart from the mind. And that state is far superior, supreme, and that cannot be illumined by any source of light. That is what he is talking about in the next verse. Natat bhāsayate suryah, natat bhāsayate suryah, nasa chāmpo na pāvakah, nasa chāmpo na pāvakah, yatat vānani vaktante, yatat vānani vaktante, saddhāma paramammama, natat bhāsayate suryah, nasa chāmpo na pāvakah, yatat vānani vaktante, saddhāma paramammama. So that goal is not something that you will intellectually understand. You have to what? Get there. See, please understand. Gaining Brahman knowledge is not that you get illumined by some source outside. You are already illumination. You are in fact the source of illumination for all the other so-called illuminating sources. Are you with me? Therefore, it is not some illumination that you get from outside. So what you have to do? You have to remove the
ignorance.
Then the light surfaces. So therefore, he says that the sun illumines not. The direct source of light. That the moon illumines not the moon, the indirect source of light. Nor fire, the generated source of light. None of this light can illuminate. Your intellect cannot illuminate, in other words. Your mind cannot illuminate. Your prana shakti cannot illuminate. By doing all this tapasya, by per se, you won't achieve. But by doing this, when the ignorance is removed, you gain the source of illumination. Without having gone, they return not. That is my supreme abode. That the sun illumines not, nor the moon, nor the fire. Without having gone, they return not. That is my supreme being. See, there is a path of sun and path of moon that is discussed in each chapter. Some people going through Brahmaloka to Brahma, some people going through Swargaloka and coming back into the world. Right? Others are just involved in Karma Kanda. He is saying, none of this will help you. You have to do yoga and get there. Spiritual evolution or illumination is not to be got from outside sources. It is got from eliminating your vasana. That is through your tapasya. No other way. So sun cannot go there. Moon cannot go there. Fire cannot go there. It is that which illumines the sun. It is that which illumines the moon. It is that which illumines the fire. is your original self. Once you reach there, thereafter there is no business of coming back. And he says, that is my supreme abode. Sri Krishna is talking to Arjuna. He says, my essential self is that. He is reached there, Krishna has reached, Arjuna is not reached. This means what? Arjuna is entering himself with a bubble. Krishna understood that he is ocean. That is the difference. Where is your identification? If your identification is with the bubble, you remain finite. What is with Brahman? You become infinite. You thereafter don't beg. You thereafter come to people. You don't say, how much work I am doing, they are not doing. You are not sitting and calculating. You are not bothered. They do, they don't do, they, you don't care. See, there is a level of checking functions. Isn't it? He is so high that this small little thing doesn't even fall in his eyes. So once you understand the scripture, once you become like that, you are not really bothered about people who talk about you, this, that. You continue doing your effort. You get there. So whether I've gone or reached there, the illumination, the source of illumination are actually getting their illumination from Brahman. If Brahman is not there, they will not have the capacity to illuminate. In other words, all these are borrowed light. Whose light is it? It is Brahman's glory. The real glory belongs to Supreme Brahman. So when you understand these verses, then whatever achievement you may get in any part in life, you will understand, you will keep your feet firmly rooted in the ground. It is Brahman, not mine. Delusion will be gone. Pride will be gone. Unless today, I am doing. Oh, you are appreciating my talk. I have delivered beautifully, brilliantly. I forget the fact that it was taught to me by my guru. My teachers taught me the language of English. A lot of stories were communicated to me. My grandmother, so many people. So many people have written these books. Ambali Mama, this, that, from where you read all these stories. And you are connecting. Are you with me? For you to be able to connect, you should have done some tapasya. Or with somebody must have provided you food. You are forgetting all of them. But once you gain this knowledge, he says, he will not be deluded anymore. Why? He will always be very clear. This glory is
not
theirs. But sometimes, if the talk is not so glorious, then don't say it is there. Why is it not so glorious? In spite of them giving me all the resources, I did not do the tapas. Therefore, all the faults are mine, glories are theirs. It's a beautiful lecture by Swami Vivekananda. When he talks about his master, my master is a lecture by Swami Vivekananda. He says, whatever after talking of whatever I spoke today and was glorious, the glory belongs to my guru. Only the mistakes are mine, he says. Why is it this? This is why. If you reflected on the resources provided by them, their glory would have come forth. But when you did not, it's not come out. So you made mistakes. That is because of your lackadaisical attitude, not because of the Guru. Let us conclude.
पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 ओम कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैव मनसेन्द्रियैव बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा
prakriti svabhava, prakriti svabhava, karomi adhyat, karomi adhyat, sakalam parasmahi, sakalam parasmahi, narayana yeti samarpayami, narayana yeti samarpayami.